God. Amen. Isn't God good? God is good. We began a series last Sunday entitled Forever Ready. And God's got things in our lives that He wants us ready for, to be prepared for. And there's a certain passage of Scripture that we don't look at very often, and that is the second return of Christ. Jesus Christ came to earth once, and it's prophesied that He'll come back again. And ever since I was a little boy, we've been hearing about Jesus is coming soon. And many times, well, He hasn't come yet. We think it's Christmas. Christmas is so far off. Well, it does finally get here. But as children, when you're taught that Jesus is coming soon, He hasn't come yet, so He must not be coming. But Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. And so I feel like these next few weeks, talking about being forever ready, we don't know the day nor the hour, but we know that He's coming back. And so that we're not caught like a thief in the night, we're prepared. When He does come, we're open arms and we're ready. Amen? So let's start this morning with a focus scripture, and I want to get into what I believe God wants to speak to us this morning. Matthew 24:44 says, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for the revelation of Your word to our limited minds. Father, you speak so much into every single word and verse in Your word. Father, I pray that it'll take root in our heart today, show us revelation, draw us closer to You. And God, I pray that it be an encouragement to hearts today, like only You can do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. When our children were younger, and now that we have four grandchildren, when they're younger, when they are just learning how to talk and to eat and those type things, we have to dress them. We have to put the shirt on them and the pants on them. And little Maddox, he doesn't like his shoes, so he kicks his shoes off or whatever. But when they get a little older, Bailey, we just celebrated her fifth birthday on Thursday. She's a big girl now. She's 5 years old. And, well, she is now at the age that she picks out her own clothes and says, "Mama, I would like to wear this." And so she has her shoes to match, and she's a little fashion girl. And so us guys had a little more problem with that. I remember when Josh, when he got a little older, he wanted to be cool. He wanted to wear jeans to church. Well, that was, you know, Chris and I were raised in a traditional church, and we didn't wear jeans. We said, "Buddy, you can't wear jeans." "But Dad, I don't wear jeans." And we got into all kind of conversations every Sunday morning about his jeans. "No, put on your khakis." "I don't like khakis." Well, it's because his buddies weren't wearing khakis. They were in jeans. Of course, now jeans are perfect. Jeans are. But back when Josh, well, he's 34 years old, you know, back in that day. But as they got older, they were able to dress their own self. As they got older, they were able to pick out their clothes and had to be ran by Mom and approved by Mom and that sort of thing. But it's like that in Christ. As we grow closer to Christ, God wants us to be prepared for Him, that we are ready. There are certain things that I've got to do to be ready for Christ's return. There are certain things that I must do to be prepared for the blessings of God. He provides the blessings, but it's up to me to prepare myself to receive those blessings. It's not that He doesn't want me to have them. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. So He's prepared the gifts for us, but we've got to be ready. So the second coming of Christ is many times not talked about because people are fearful. "Oh no, Jesus is coming." And so we kind of put it out of our mind because we don't want to think about Jesus' return. But in all actuality, it's a blessing to the body of Christ that He will come back again. He will come on earth again one day. But as we were studying Mark last week, we talked about Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, talked about His second coming. There's also a portion that I want to bring out today in the Word of God that before there's a 7 year of tribulation period. So before Christ returned, before His coming back, there'll be 7 year of tribulation. Now, 7 year of tribulation is going to be chaotic. You think things are bad now. Things will really fall through the earth's surface. It's going to get real bad, those 7 years of tribulation. But God talks about the rapture or the taking away of His people prior to that 7 year tribulation. And so he's coming back. It's like a rescue mission that he's coming back for his people. We've got to be ready for that. So when he comes back, when he calls his church away, when he calls his people away, by the way, who is the church? Is this building, is God going to call back this church building up to heaven? No. That's you. That's us. We are the temple of God. That's why the Bible talks about taking care of the temple of God, so that when we get to heaven, this temple is still going to be there. You know, Moses was recognized by the disciples. Why? Because they knew what Moses looked like. So you'll be, I'll know who you are in heaven. I like what Pastor Ligon says. He said, when we get to heaven, we'll be known as we were when we were 33 years old, because that's when Jesus returned to heaven too, 33 years old. At any rate, we will know each other. And so as we take care of this body, we're going to have souls there. We'll talk more about this in a moment. Well, our souls will be there, but your body will be there too. We'll have a glorified body. We won't have to have sleep. We will get food. I like to make that point, you know. We'll have food. I mean, it'll be wonderful. Worshiping God, praising God, riding your scooter on streets of gold, you know, taking pictures of the pearly gates and all those things. That's real. We will see each other, recognize each other when we get to heaven. There'll be no sorrow, no more pain. Little Indiana, who went to be home with the Lord a few weeks ago, Indy's going to be there. You say, well, he didn't have a soul. No, but God knows I love Indy, so he's going to have Indy there for me. I won't be cleaning up behind him, but he'll be there. There'll be horses there. There's going to be fish in the lake. There's going to be trees there. There's going to be birds singing. And so the rapture of the church is not a scary or fearful event. It's one that we can celebrate and be excited about. It's a rescue mission. God compares these days that we're living in, these last days. When I say these last days, as I said last Sunday, that can mean 5 o'clock this afternoon, 5 o'clock next Friday, 3 years from now, 30 years from now. Nobody knows the date or the hour. There have been predictions, and obviously they were incorrect. In 98, they gave 1989. There were 1989 more reasons, and 1990 more reasons. And so every year there's a prediction, but no man knows the day nor the hour. That's why he wants us to be ready. And being ready means that we walk with God all the time according to his will and purpose for our life, so that we're always fulfilling his purpose. Being mindful of, I need to be ready. I need to be ready. So when the hour comes, I will know that I'm ready for him. So the rapture of the church meaning you and I, we're the temple of the Lord. We come together corporately during the week to encourage one another. We know that Christ made the church for us to encourage one another and to build each other up, to edify one another. If you stayed home 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from church, you begin to get a little hungry because you're missing that fellowship. God is with you, but you're missing the fellowship of God's people right alongside you. So there's a special meaning and purpose. And so God will send, he will send a signal for the rapture of his church, of his people, to be called up with him. And every believer who has passed away, my mom, Crystal's mom, all those who have preceded the rapture of God's people will be in the ground. We'll talk a little more about this. But they also will take up from that grave and will be in heaven as well. Said the dead in Christ will rise first. Somebody said, well, why will the dead be raised from the dead and go to heaven before we are? We're going to go second. They're going to go first. Somebody said, well, because they've got 6 more feet to go than we do. And maybe that's right. We don't know. But this is what Jesus said in John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Why is he saying that? Because he doesn't want you to be fearful of what he's preparing you for, is getting you ready for. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That's you. That means you. You will have your own address there. You could come over when you like. I'll come over and we'll fellowship. But you'll have a place. There's a place prepared for you. Jesus has been preparing that place for you and for me ever since he's been at the right hand of the Father. When he left here the first time, he went back to prepare a place for us. And in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's where we'll be for eternity. He's preparing a place for you and I. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed in a millisecond. Just the twinkle of your eye. When the light shines on your eye, it'll be just that quick. That quick, millisecond, will be changed. We'll all be changed, the Bible says. And then Paul speaks to the believers as he was writing to Thessalonians. The rapture of the church is what Paul was talking about here in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. People were dying during this time, and people that were leaving, others were saying, well, I'm missing something. And so Paul said this, but I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed. Our word ignorant today is a little different than the illustration or the description of the word here in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Uninformed. Doesn't want us to be uninformed, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now there we see that term again, fallen asleep. Lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. They have fallen asleep. Paul says they have fallen asleep. Sleep in the Greek is the word that we get the word cemetery from. And so when we're in Christ, we fall asleep. You say, well, no, I'm pretty sure I'm dead. Well, we'll see here in a moment how it's described. The cemetery is really a dormitory for people to sleep to be prepared for Christ's rapture. Our spirit never dies. Our body dies, but our spirit lives forever. The body dies. Remember when Lazarus was dead, he was in the tomb, and word was sent to Jesus that Lazarus was dead. And so Jesus eventually got to the tomb where Lazarus was laying, but Jesus in John 11:11-14, these things Jesus said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps. Isn't that interesting? He was confirmed dead. He was in the tomb, wrapped up. Our friend Lazarus sleeps, Jesus said, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. So they were thinking like we think. Well, he's just taking a nap. He's very much asleep. The other day we were in the car and Maddox had dozed off in his chair, and I was riding up front with Tim in the car, and Bailey was in the seat opposite. We were in their minivan. Bailey was in the seat opposite of Maddox, and then the girls, Jordan and Crystal, were in the third row, back seat back there. They couldn't hear nothing we were saying up there. So we had to be loud. We were loud, and the radio was going, and Bailey and they were being loud. And Silas, Maddox slept through the entire thing. Jordan said, y'all need to be a little quieter because Maddox is sleeping. I said, honey, if he hadn't woke up yet, he ain't waking up. So Lazarus was not in a sleep like Maddox was in the other day. Lazarus was dead, but Jesus called him sleeping. He said, Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said in verse 12, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death. And they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. So then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. His body was dead, but his soul was very much alive. 1 Corinthians 15:6 says, after that, Jesus was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Their body was dead, but the soul very much alive. Stephen was being stoned. He's being martyred. We talked about that last week. And Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60 says, and they stoned Stephen, and he was calling on God. Stephen was calling on God as he was being stoned, saying this, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he said this, he fell asleep. He didn't doze off. He died. His body died, but his soul was very much awake, very much alive, very much aware of what was going on. See, death from a Christian standpoint is temporary. It's just a temporary holding pattern. Their body is there, and we come together and honor them and memorialize them and we miss them not being here, but we know that their soul very much lives. 2 Corinthians 5:8, what happens? We're confident, yes, well-pleased rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is an immediate transition. When we're not in this body, as a Christian, we are present with the Lord just like that. We take one breath here, and we take another breath in the presence of God. It's just that quick. And so our spirit is alive, but our body lies dormant in wherever it's at. You say, well, what happens to those who are burned? What do you call it? Cremated. We're going to all go back to the dust of the earth. And so it's not a big deal for God to put the dust back, the flesh back. Remember when the bones were, they all lined up and put back together? Doesn't matter. You could be cremated. You can be buried like you are, whatever. God's going to put you back together and bring you up. Immediately, there's a transition from this life to the life to come, to be in the presence of God. It's been about 16 and a half years ago now, and I've told you this story before. Many of you have heard the story of Crystal's mom. And before she passed away, she was at hospice, and they'd just given her a few months to live. And so we were at hospice. This was about 3 days before she passed away. And so we were at hospice. Crystal and I were the only two there. And her mom was laying there. And she always liked to have worship music playing in the background. So in a room there at the hospice center, we had worship music playing. And she really wasn't communicating a lot. She, at this point, you know, she was in a lot of pain and just keeping her comfortable. But as we were sitting there that day, just I was sitting on one side of her. Crystal was on the other side of the bed. And we were just kind of sitting there with her and just watching her and being with her. All of a sudden, her eyes opened up, and a smile came on her face, and she raised her hands. Now, she's in a lot of pain, and she raised her hands and looked up. I was on her left arm, and Crystal's on her right arm, and she looked up, and she clearly was somewhere. And so as her face lit up, smile came to her face, beautiful smile, eyes got big, and she said, wow, so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And then she started talking about the colors. She said, I've never seen colors so beautiful in all my life. Now, she loved flowers, and she loved different color flowers. She knew how to take care of them. She had a green thumb. She could grow anything. Garden, didn't matter. And so she was describing colors that she had never seen before. She said, so beautiful. And then, I mean, the presence, it's what you feel right now is what we felt in that room. It was just thick. It was just awesome presence of God. Clearly, we knew that she was in tune with where she was headed. And so as she was there, she began to talk about the colors and beauty. She said, oh my goodness. She said, he's there at the lake. He's there at the river. And I said, Mama, who's there? She said, DJ's dad. And I said, DJ's dad? She said, DJ Liggins' dad. She had never met DJ Liggins' dad. She had seen him at church, I think, at one point, but she had never met him. She said, DJ Liggins' dad is at the river fishing. And her eyes were big, small. And I asked her again, I said, DJ Liggins' dad is at, she said, he's at the river fishing, yeah. So beautiful, she said. And she just worshiped. And of course, by this time, I was nearly on the floor. I mean, it was clearly God was communicating with her and she with the Lord and worshiping God. And so we knew that transition time, it was 3 days later that she passed. But we knew that experience, God was getting her ready. And of course, she was all for it. She was in the presence of God and ready to meet the Lord and to be in heaven. But the Lord was preparing her heart and actually has had such a great impact on our life, knowing that the transition of this life to the other is awesome. And some describe it in different ways. Some describe it in different moments. I mean, that was the first time we had ever experienced anything like that. I'd never been with someone that was just days away from heaven and actually describing it right there so that we would understand the colors and what was going on there and what she was seeing and all the things that lined up with the Word of God. It was an awesome time. And to see the look on her face as she was seeing those things, as she was about to enter into the presence of the Lord. Paul was in prison and possibly facing execution in Philippians 1, 23 and 24, when he said, "For I am hard-pressed between the two." This is what Paul said. "I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." And so some, as the rapture takes place and as we're taken away to be with the Lord, there will be some have already gone before us. It's Crystal's mom, my mom, and many of your loved ones, Pastor Don, gone before us. But we know that when he calls, we're to be ready. And so there are three things I want to share with you concerning the rapture of the church, concerning the rapture. And I want this to be an encouragement to you. This can actually be an encouragement to those who are lost as well, those who don't know Christ, to come to know who Jesus is. Because that's he is our only Savior for us or anyone else. We were all created the same way. We breathe the same breath. Your neighbor breathes the very blood that's in. It doesn't matter color, background, none of that matters. We're created by the same Father, same God. But there's a basis for the rapture. And the basis for the rapture is this, that we know Jesus Christ. That's the basis. We must believe in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says this, "For if we believe that Jesus died, we must believe." Now, why is that important that we believe? Because Jesus died for a purpose. He died so that our sins would be forgiven. There's no way that you and I could pay for our sins. We could kill every animal between here and south. It doesn't matter. We cannot pay the price for our sin. But Jesus paid the price for every one of our sins. And we must believe that. That's the power of believing that he has paid the price for our sin. We must believe. He did something that we could never do. He paid a debt we could never pay. We could never pay the debt. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Jesus died, but he didn't stay dead. We sung a while ago, our God is alive. He's living in us. Believe that he died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Christ, those who have gone before us, those who are in the grave, those their body is dead, but their soul is alive. Those who are asleep in Jesus. they will be caught up as well. And the promise is that when we believe in Jesus, the death and the resurrection, we will be in his presence. There's nothing else. When we believe in Christ, when we know who he is, when we receive him, when we declare him, we talked about this last week. When we do that, that is the basis of the rapture. You then qualify, as we believe in Christ, to be caught up when he calls. John 14:19 says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. We will see Jesus. Because I live, you will live also. We are promised life for eternity. Somebody said, well, I don't want to live that long. Well, you don't have to live that long in your current body, in your current state. Just imagine life being perfect, no more aches, no more pains. You can run as long as you want to, run as fast as you want to, eat as much as you want to. You can do all those, praise God. You'll have a glorified body. And so we're going to live forever. Why that's awesome is because there'll be no sorrow. There'll be no problems. But there is a preparation process in our lives today that is required to get us to where the Lord wants us to be. And there's someone in your life that God wants to touch that no one else can touch except for you. There's a reason why you're here. There's a reason why you haven't already passed. When the Lord is finished with us, we'll go. Until then, there's a reason, there's a purpose for your life. And so we'll be with him, he says. Because he lives, we will live also. 1 Corinthians 6:14, God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. He raised Jesus, right? He raised Jesus from the dead. He'll also raise us from our current state, no matter where that's at. He'll raise us up as well. 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. So the basis is that we know Christ, that we have faith in Christ, that we have trust in Christ. When we believe him, we trust him. We don't have to be anxious and worrying that he's overlooked us or overlooked our need or overlooked where we are. Listen, just because you're facing difficulty today, just because you're facing challenges in your life today, does not mean that Jesus is not present. He's present with us. He's not up there. Yes, he's building mansions and he's getting ready for you, but you know what? He lives in you and he's living through you, and he wants to encourage you to face everything that you face today. Because you can do that through the strength of Christ. He says that. You can face anything with the strength of Christ. We must believe in him, have faith in Christ. It's important that we believe him, his death and resurrection, the Bible says in Thessalonians. The second basis of the rapture is the blueprint of the rapture. The blueprint of the rapture. It goes on to say in 4:16 of 1 Thessalonians, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. That's the blueprint of the rapture. It's not complicated. It's not 3D. It's not got footnotes here. You go to page 14, you'll see other footnotes. You ever seen a building being built and the plans that goes in? I mean, that's a lot of work within itself before you even buy the hammer. There's a lot that goes into it. Well, this is the blueprint. What I love about the Word of God, it's simple. It's for anyone to understand, even a child, to understand that I believe in Christ, I shall be saved. I profess, I confess, I declare the name of God. We see here the blueprint of the rapture is that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. See, that's why opening our mouth sometimes is the greatest power in our life to declare who God is in our life. There's power in a shout. There's power in our words. We see that the same shout that Jesus will bring to earth when he raptures the church is also the same shout that brought Lazarus out of the grave. It's the same shout. There's power in that. And so the same shout, have you ever been angry and you were frustrated and you just didn't help a thing in the world, but he just got it out. Imagine that same emotion, that same whatever it is in there that just causes you that excitement to just shout of praise. God, I worship you. The atmosphere just, it changes, doesn't it? Little Maddox has the shrillest, loudest squeal I've ever heard in my life. Last week, again, he just gets so excited, he don't know what to do with himself, so he just lets it out. And if you're not prepared for that, it'll get your attention. Get your attention. He's loud. He's got a set of lungs. He's going to be shouting too one of these days where we can understand it. And the shout of Jesus when he comes for his people, the shout, we will hear it. There'll be no question, what was that? You know, we live close to Kings Bay and all these bombs that we hear going off every now and then. We say, well, was that thunder or was that something being blown up? You know, it makes you wonder, what's going on here? But when the shout of Jesus comes, when he breaks forth with a shout, we will know it's him. We won't be lazy. We won't say, oh, I guess I better get up now. I mean, it'll be a militant will. You come to attention. When those guys who are in service or in boot camp, those guys are trained when someone in authority comes into that room and speaks, and of course, they don't use a little soft voice. They speak loudly and clearly. So they're heard, buddy, those boys, if they're in a dead sleep, they come out of that bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. And that's the way we will be when we hear a shout from Jesus Christ. It's all of God's people that will hear that. Those that aren't in tune with Christ will not hear it. They won't know there's a change until they go somewhere. Imagine all the Christians being called up at the same time around the world. And somebody that does not know Christ goes to another room where there was someone there and now they're gone. They didn't hear it, but the one in Christ heard it, the shout of Jesus. And I'm convinced that the whole graveyard where Lazarus was the only one that came out. Otherwise, those who were not in Christ, that's why they didn't come out of the tomb. Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, and Lazarus came forth with the shout of Jesus. Those that are in tune with Christ, those who know Christ, we're not talking about an 8-year degree from a certain university. We're talking about believing in Christ. We're talking about the University of the Bible, knowing Jesus Christ. That's the qualification. We will hear the voice of God, the shout of God. John 5:25 says, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Those who hear will live. Who's going to hear it? Those who believe in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians, we're already there, 4, verse 16, the latter half of that, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then who we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall always be with the Lord. That's the blueprint of the rapture right there. That's it. We read earlier 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Jesus wants us encouraged. He wants us excited. That doesn't mean being lazy and unproductive. Josh and Kendra, they were celebrating their 10-year wedding anniversary last year. And prior to that, Josh planned a special cruise. Kendra didn't know anything about it. So last June 2020, Josh had already planned in the latter part of 2019 to take Kendra on a cruise for their 10-year anniversary last June of 2020, 10 years. So he was going to keep it a secret and had everything already planned out, had the children they were going to be taken care of until about February and then March and then April of 2020, things began to change just a little bit. And so Josh got an email that the cruise last June had been canceled. And so Josh went ahead and told Kendra, by the way, happy anniversary, but that I had planned, put it all together, we're not going to be doing it. Fortunately, the cruise was rescheduled to June of 2021. Well, come close to that time, got another email, said, hate to tell you this, but your cruise has been canceled. It's now been scheduled for 2022. And so they celebrated their anniversary a little bit differently in 2020. And they actually had a few days when they left for vacation here, had a few days in Savannah that they celebrated their anniversary together this past June. And but my point in all that is they still anticipate that cruise, although they have no clue when it's going to actually happen. They're looking forward to it. It's paid for. Matter of fact, the cruise line has given them credits on top of credits, saying if you'll keep it, we'll give you this, 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 and this. So they've gotten all kind of other things that they weren't going to get with the cruise. So they're excited about it. They're anticipating it, but yet they don't know when it's going to happen. And so I got to thinking, you know what? That's the way that we should be with Jesus coming back for us as a church. It shouldn't be a matter of being fearful or afraid. It should be a matter of being excited. We still work. Now, Josh and Kendra still goes to work. Even before that cruise, they don't put their life on hold and say, okay, we're going to sit back and wait for that email to get back to us, and then maybe 2022 we'll go on the cruise, so we're going to... No, they're still working. They're still being diligent in their responsibilities. They're still feeding their children. They're still getting sleep. They're still going to church. Josh is still leading worship. He's still teaching English, a Georgia boy teaching English in North Carolina. Kendra's still teaching in the preschool there. So they're doing all these things still, but yet they've got a trip that's going to take place that they have no idea yet when it's going to be, but it's paid for and it's there. They're excited about it. They're looking forward to it. They can't wait. And when it gets here, they're ready. When they get that email, okay, show up on such and such date, such and such time, bring this and that, and we're going to take you on a boat ride. And so they're going to be there. And so Jesus is preparing us. And what I want to do is to encourage you not to see the excitement and to see the faithfulness of God and see the love of God for you, to want you to be ready for this awesome trip that's going to change everything. We've got to believe in Jesus Christ. He's already paid the price. It's already paid for. You don't have to pay for anything. You've just got to believe Him. You've got to know that when you get the notice that you're ready to go. It's okay then to take the children out of school. Be prepared. And so the Lord is going to, He wants to do a work in your life to prepare you for this awesome event that's going to be one time in our life. He's going to come back for the church. Finally, third, the blessing of the rapture. There's a blessing in the rapture. The blessing is that we'll be called away and we'll be in the presence of God. You say, well, Mike, I thought we were just created just to live on earth, and then when we die and everything, we just don't know. This is just the rehearsal for the real life to come. So however many years we are here, this is all a rehearsal. This is to get us ready for the main life, for the main scene. We're doing our best to get, you know, we've all been given a different part. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different abilities and talents. We all can touch people in different ways and minister to people in different ways and love people in different ways. And so God is preparing us, even with the challenges that you face, even with the hardships and the hard times that you face, He's using those, listen to this, He's using those things for good in your life, to work for good. I love what Crystal read to me this morning. She said that one of her friends posted this and said that don't have regrets about the things in your past, because it's because of the things in your past that God is building the wisdom in you for your future. And so God is using those things from your past to give you wisdom to go forward. If you took all those things away, you say, well, I wish all those things would go away. And we don't want the connection to those bad things, the bad memories. We don't want the connection to that. And so God will heal us from that. But he'll also use the situation and the circumstances of those things to give us wisdom to go forward. Why? Because God still wants to do some other things in our life before the trumpet sounds. So there's a blessing in the rapture. Verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 4 says, therefore comfort one another with these words. We're to comfort each other with those words. It's comforting knowing that Jesus is for us. He's not against us. And that everything, he doesn't have other jobs that he's doing. And we're his little side job. No, you are his main job. You're why he came. You are his priority. And everything happening in your life, it doesn't go unseen by him. He sees it. And he knows that you can handle so much, and he's going to bring you to that level. See, an athlete can't reach his potential unless he's pushed beyond what he's able to do at that moment. That athlete is pushed and pushed and pushed, almost sometimes to the breaking point. And that's where they become stronger, and they can do more. Jesus is not torturing us. Jesus is wanting to build us up to where we're stronger in him, to where we have the wisdom of God that we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. He wants us ready. John 21:22 says, Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is it that to you? What is that to you? You follow me. We are called to continue to follow Christ. These last days, however many days they are, 3 days, 30 days, 30 years, we're to follow him. Follow him. He knows the past, he knows the present, and he knows the future. And he's got all of this coordinated, and it's all rocking real well. He can make the sun come up at a certain time and the moon at the other. The winds blow at a certain time. The rain come at a certain time. Everything in your life he's got coordinated and tuned just so that you know him. He loves you. Therefore, in Luke 12:40, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I love you, and I want us to be ready. When that time comes, we can be in the middle of a church service on Sundays, fine with me. And at that moment, the rapture will come. He'll come back for his church. I want us to stand together this morning. Ask the worship team to come back up. I'm not going to disclose any names, But I do want to share something with you. There's a family that our family knows, has known for some time, and this man and woman we've known them for a long time, and they're not that old. And the lady, they don't live in this town; they live in another town. The lady has been a professed Christian. She goes to church. She loves God, and loves the Lord, and her husband, as good a fellow as he is, he said he don't know Jesus. He didn't go to church. He wasn't involved, and so she went to church, as we see in a lot of homes today. She went to church, and she served God, and he didn't. And good guy, hardworking. Well, he became sick. He became ill recently and was hospitalized. And in the hospital, he became worse. And in the last few weeks, he got to the point that he actually passed away. But we found out that her pastor called and told her, he said, I feel like I need to go see him one last time in the hospital. Do you mind if I go see him? She said, absolutely. She said, please do. So a matter of days before he passed away, the pastor went and talked to him in the hospital. As he was talking to him and sharing with him, he said, Pastor, I want to know Jesus. And so the pastor prayed right then and there. He said, yes, I can introduce you to Jesus. So they prayed right there. And this gentleman received the Lord right there on what turned out to be his deathbed. And just days later, he went to be with the Lord. And so we have the assurance of knowing that he received Jesus. You say, well, what's the likelihood of that happening? He was on his deathbed about to die any moment, but yet he received Jesus. That is the mercy of God. That's the love of God for those who is wanting to draw to him. Jesus is drawing somebody today. Jesus is talking to somebody's heart today. It's not too late. It's not too late for you. That same gentleman is in heaven today. The very moment he took his last breath was the very moment that he was in the presence of God. He was right there with Jesus. And now the wife has the assurance and the peace of knowing that he is with the Lord. It's not too late. If you're here today and if watching by Facebook, watching by YouTube, you're here today and you're saying, you know what, it's too far gone. I've waited too long. Listen, Jesus is drawing you today. He's wanting to pull you to him and wanting to put his life in you so that you will also live forever. And so today it's not too late to be ready. If there's breath in your body today, it's a good time to be ready. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, you know the hearts of each one today. You know the hearts of each one. Lord, you know those who know you and those who don't know you. But Lord, I pray by your anointing and by your power and by your word, God, those today that don't know you, they will open their ears, they'll open their hearts to you. And to receive you today. Lord, I pray that each person under the sound of my voice that needs to know you, Lord, I pray that there be a reception of your presence in their life at this moment, Lord. I just encourage you just to close your eyes and open your hands to the Lord this morning. Just invite him in. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Make my life right. I desire to know you. I desire for you to live in my heart. And from this day forward, I give you my life. I give you my heart. Jesus, rule in my heart today. Jesus, make me more like you. I love you, Jesus, and I will follow you all my days. If you pray that today, you are now at the beginning steps of knowing who Jesus is. I encourage you to get in the Word of God. We all need the Word of God daily. We need the wisdom of God daily in our lives. Don't let the cares of life discourage you. Don't let the things in life that are meant to take your eyes off of Christ, don't allow those things to take your eyes off of Him. There are tough things ahead. But Jesus is with you. He will never leave you. Believe in Jesus. Declare him Lord. Surrender your life to Jesus. Walk with him. He loves you. And he wants to be with you today. Amen. Crystal, if you'll come up and stand with me. I'm going to ask the worship team.